Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Liz Stefanini.
On our podcast, recently we have been hearing personal stories about how the grace of God can shine through, even in the challenging area of race. Today, Senior Pastor Jerry Barber interviews former staff member Henry Golett. Henry currently serves as the Director of Music Ministry at Back Creek Church in Charlotte.
It is so good to have Henry here with us in the studio. Henry, it's great to see you again.
I love what you've done with the conference or prayer and conference room. It's good to see you as well.
You love what we've done with it.
Never would have thought.
Yeah, never would have thought. Henry served on staff here for a while as a part-time worship leader. And did a great job for us. A full-time opportunity became available at Back Creek, and that's where he is. And before we dive into this topic we're talking about today, just maybe give us a little update on you and what's going on at Back Creek and how the Lord's working.
Yeah, well, I think that I speak for a lot of us when I say that 2020 has been the most interesting year that I can remember. I'm sure that's probably the case for many people. And I think obviously where I serve has fallen into that interesting year category. Of course, back in March, everything was shut down, and then we had to figure out how do we have some sort of normalcy, and then we quickly realized there's no such thing as normalcy. But we've been having drive-in services, and we're about to shift into going outside. And so, as the person that's in charge of music, it's been very difficult learning how to navigate that in this new landscape. So that's also been a lot of fun because it's been stretching me in ways in which I've not had to be stretched, but I also can see how the Lord has prepared me for this particular moment over the past several years. So it's been a hard time, a trying time, but also an exciting time to know that whatever I thought my capacity was, it's so much more with the help of the Holy Spirit. So that's kind of where I am. I've been blessed now. I was thinking about this last night. I've been leading worship for the past 13 years of my life, and that's crazy. I can't think of anything else besides breathing that I've done for that long. So, but it's an honor to be here with you guys today, and I'm really excited about what we're talking about.
Yeah, great. Well, it is great to see you. Yeah, I was saying that to somebody the other day. We're like constantly reinventing ourselves as the church right now. We're having to because of all these new things. So I'm glad that you guys are prospering there. So, Henry, as you know, what we're doing is we're talking about race. Everybody's talking about race. It's at the forefront of everybody's mind, constantly in the media. And what we're doing for several podcasts here is interviewing some people of color in our congregation to get their perspective, what they've seen in terms of challenges and blessings. And even though you're serving with another church, you're one of us. And I thought about you, so glad that you've joined. Give us some of your background as an African-American man. Maybe how have you seen racism affect you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I grew up in, and a lot of people don't know this about me, but I actually grew up in Arkansas, southeastern Arkansas. The name of the city is Pine Bluff. It's a city that probably saw its best days decades ago. And honestly, growing up, I wasn't really aware I was aware in theory, but in my everyday life, I didn't know that there were other people besides white people and black people, because that was the dominant population in that city. And that is a city that had a lot of weird tension. And by the time I was growing up, it wasn't something that was super apparent. So it's not as if people would say things to me, or it wasn't a lot of personal experience. But as I looked around the city, I could definitely tell that it was a city that had racial tensions. I mean, you had areas of the city that were just devastated in poverty, and those tended to be areas where a lot of African Americans lived. And there was this flock to the suburbs, and in those areas, you mainly saw white people. So, And then on top of that, I felt like the state of Arkansas, by and large, was a very black and white sort of state. And so when I moved to Ohio, that was when my eyes were really open to say, hey, wow, there's so much more than maybe what I grew up with. But I would say there are specific instances where I can look back and realize, wow, that was racist. I mean, at least on a personal level, I felt like oftentimes I was penalized because I talked a certain way or carried myself a certain way. So I would get comments such as, wow, you sound like a white person, or you don't sound black, or you must think that you're a white person, or yeah, just a lot of things like that. And I heard it from both sides. So as an African American growing up, that can cause a lot of confusion, feeling as though how you're talking is some sort of indicator of your race, which it really isn't. Or I've heard things such as, you are an Oreo, which means black on the outside, white on the inside. And even to this day, if someone were to tell me that, I would have an instant react, well, not out of anger, but I would just be really annoyed as to how someone would come to that sort of conclusion. How do you determine what's white? How do you determine what's black other than your skin color? So I think one of the most frustrating things to me is that people can assign personality traits or just little things into your identity as a race. And that's not a fair assumption. That's not a fair line to draw to someone. So yeah, that was a lot, but
no, that's good. That's good. At this state, so how old are you now, Henry?
I am 31, believe 31. It or not.
Oh my, just
I know.
About to get the cane out.
I need it.
But okay, so at 31, you've been in Charlotte for a few years now.
Yeah.
What about recent? Do you, all in the last few months, the racial tension in America, does that arise, or do emotions arise within you because of that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So it's been a heavy year for a lot of reasons. I think COVID has been a constant source of heaviness, I think, for a lot of people. So for me personally, March happened, I wondered what is going on. April happened, and that felt like the month of loneliness, because that's when extreme quarantining, I think, was more so happening. And then to come out of that, May, you have Ahmaud Arbery, and then you have George Floyd situations happening. And so when the Ahmaud Arbery situation happened, it felt really heavy, and I wasn't really quite sure how to process my thoughts. So I was grieving, and then to shift from that to the George Floyd situation, where you literally are seeing how this is playing out, that was a definite source of grief. And I just felt like May was marred with so much heaviness. So there was a good 2 to 3 week stretch where I had trouble finding any sort of sense of joy. And I think one of the lies that the enemy was trying to feed, probably not only me, but so many people that might look like me, was that I was alone in this, that all these heavy things are happening, but there is nowhere I can escape or feel some sort of joy from it. And so that was the negative side. The positive side is that from people that I'm close to people that I'm not so close to, I felt more seen in May and in June than I think I had in a long time because of the larger issues that were happening. I had so many people reaching out and just checking in, because I think for the first time in my life, I saw a lot of people realize the heaviness of the moment and have a desire to reach out, even if they didn't know what to say. And that to me was a huge source of encouragement. And that was something to me that said, wow, we've made some sort of progress, at least in terms of empathy for someone else going through something really hard. And that's where I've thought, wow, I can see God at work, because God didn't cause COVID to happen. But I would say that the extreme silence that created allowed for people to grow in their compassion, awareness, and empathy toward other people. So I don't, as I look back, I can't say I don't think it would have been the same had things not been significantly slowed down. I don't know if I would have gotten reached out to as much. In fact, I probably can say that I would not have, because situations like Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd unfortunately have happened before, but it's just that all eyes were on that situation, those situations, and I'm really proud of how people stepped up to the plate and reached out, whether they're black or white, so or any color.
Yeah, so obviously we need hope. We need encouragement in these days. And the body of Christ does look very different, which is great.
Yeah,
we're not monolithic by any stretch. What signs of hope have you seen? What can you share? Any experiences either that you've experienced or people you know have experienced that have shown or the body of Christ in action, loving each other?
Yeah, I think the willingness of people to engage in conversation has been hugely encouraging, because I can't think of any other time where so many people have wanted to engage in conversation, not out of an attitude of wanting to prove a point or anything, but simply to listen and to gain understanding. And that's been really, really special to me. And I had to reach this place for myself. Like, it's been great that people have done that, but I know for myself, I had to kind of draw a boundary, because it's really hard to engage in heavy conversations all the time. But to see that my friends have stepped up to the plate, my friends that are super strong believers, to say, hey, I am with you with this. And if you want to talk about it, great. But if you need a space to just be, that's totally okay too. So that's been really encouraging for me. And even just seeing people that I'm not as close to that are believers, they've been reaching out to me. And I just feel like people aren't afraid to reach out. You know, because I think sometimes when it comes to racial things, people might think, oh, I can't reach out because I can't possibly relate. Whereas I think now people may not necessarily be looking through that lens. They're choosing to reach out no matter if they feel that they can relate or not. And that's really special.
Yeah. Well, my last question is maybe just for any tips or advice you might have for somebody that doesn't look like you, somebody of a different race than you are, and they're wanting to be helpful, they're wanting, you know, to cross bridges or barriers, however you would say it. Maybe they don't know exactly what to do, how to do it. What words would you give to a person in that situation?
First of all, recognizing that it's a big deal that they even want to. That's worth mentioning. But I would furthermore say that one of the best ways you can gain understanding into someone that does not look like you is to maybe first start by being a friend before you dive too deeply into that, because I think at least from my perspective, it can often come off wrong if out of nowhere someone that doesn't look like me wants to ask a lot of heavy questions. But if someone comes in with the idea that I'm going to be this person's friend, I'm going to get to know this person, get to know their story, then I think that disarms someone like me in a really positive way. So, and I get it, because there is this desire. You want to learn everything you possibly can when it's important to you. You know what I mean? But I think if someone's coming into a situation new, you have to understand that it's a process. And maybe pulling from different resources than just one friend is a more realistic expectation. Because I will say it's hard when you're expecting one person to be your source of education. It's probably not fair. It's definitely not fair to that one person. So yeah, be a friend. Know that it's a process, but also find other avenues to be educated as well, and keep growing in empathy. And don't come in with any preconceived notions. I think the combination of all those things would be helpful for someone.
Yeah, well, those are great words. And again, Henry, it's so awesome for you to be here. Thanks for your time. And to the listener, we'd love to hear from you. What do you guys think? What are your questions? What are your comments? How can we help? And that we're trying to be helpful here at Harvest, as we're trying to make disciples who make disciples. Have a great day.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out how you can donate to support the podcast.